This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Health should not become what we call a commodity, a product to be bought and sold on the market as you would walk into a supermarket and you buy a doctor's fee. Can one put it more plainly than that?
But the problem is that I'm not a consumer, I'm a patient.
The concept of the open bar right now and with Medicare is driving irresponsibility.
Et c'est plus facile de couper un client que de couper un malade.
More and more doctors will be pulled into the private. We'll be waiting longer and longer in the public system.
Introducing Médecine à la carte, a new semi-private medical center opened its doors in Montreal on January 22nd this year. The warehouse-like building, located in Health Minister Philippe Couillard's own riding, houses a private family clinic and a surgical center where patients pay accessory fees for publicly funded procedures. The center opened its doors in the wake of the controversial Bill 33, which was pushed through by the Liberals in the early morning of December 13th last year. Bill 33 secures faster access to certain surgeries by having the public system pay for them in the private sector. People will also be allowed to get a private insurance covering these surgeries that would skip the entire waiting list. The surgeries listed are hip, knee, and cataract, but others can be added without going through Parliament, and the Liberals' election platform included extending the program to all surgeries. Jacques Benoit, a community organizer at the Clinique Pointe-Saint-Charles, was outraged about Bill 33.
Ça vient pas changer la situation des listes d'attente au public. La seule chose que ça fait, c'est que ça vient dire que si on te l'offre pas au service public, on va le payer pour que tu ailles au privé. L'objectif, c'est trouver une façon d'ouvrir la porte pour faire faire des chirurgies, des services chirurgicaux dans le secteur privé. Un service public vise essentiellement à donner un service au prix coûtant. Point. Ça coûte ça pour donner le service, on le rend et c'est tout, et ça coûte ça. Au privé, le service, il a le prix coûtant plus un profit. Une entreprise privée, si elle veut faire, si elle veut offrir un service au même coût que dans le public, ou bien elle va couper sur la qualité de son service, elle va couper sur la quantité du service, ou elle va couper sur les conditions de travail des gens qui vont rendre le service.
Benoit argues that going private will not lead to a more efficient system. Bill 33 comes as a response to the Supreme Court ruling in the 2005 Shaouli case, in which a 73-year-old patient, Shaouli, and his doctor argued for the right to seek private insurance and skip the long surgical wait times in the public sector. The Supreme Court gave the Quebec government 1 year to deal with the long wait times. Benoit has been following public health policy for many years, and he insists that the focus on privatization goes farther back than this.
Ce qu'il a entrepris depuis son élection en 2003, c'est une réforme extrêmement importante du système de santé et services sociaux au Québec. Cette réforme-là vise à ouvrir grand, à installer le cadre de la privatisation des services et soins de santé au Québec. On a fusionné ensemble des CLSC, des CHSLD et des CH, des hôpitaux, ensemble pour faire d'immenses gros centres de santé et services sociaux, ce qu'on appelle maintenant des C3S, centres de santé et services sociaux. À Montréal, il y en a 12 ou 13. Il y en a, grosso modo, 95, je me souviens bien, au Québec. Mais ça veut dire qu'au Québec, on est passé à peu près 300 établissements de santé à 95 immenses centres de santé. On a, en faisant la fusion de ces organismes, de ces différentes institutions-là, on a également changé le mandat de ces institutions-là. Auparavant, au Québec, les institutions de santé avaient demandé de fournir des soins de santé et services sociaux. Quand on a fait la fusion, on a dit les nouveaux centres de santé et services sociaux vont avoir le mandat d'organiser, de s'assurer de l'existence sur leur propre territoire, par le biais d'ententes ou autres, des services nécessaires. Ça veut dire quoi? Ça veut dire qu'ils n'ont plus la responsabilité d'offrir, mais ils ont la responsabilité de coordonner sur leur territoire par le biais d'ententes ou autres. Qu'est-ce que c'est, ça? Bien, des ententes ou autres, c'est de la sous-traitance. Ensuite, il y a eu la loi 30 et 31, qui sont deux lois qui viennent, d'une part, modifier l'article 45 de la loi du travail, qui freinait, qui empêchait ou qui rendait plus difficile la sous-traitance. Eh bien là, on a enlevé les irritants, les freins, les breaks à la sous-traitance pour faciliter la sous-traitance. Et l'autre loi, elle est venue faire des regroupements, des fusions, dans le fond, syndicales, en les regroupant par secteur d'activité, par secteur de production de services. Encore une fois, pourquoi? Pour faire en sorte de faciliter la sous-traitance.
Benoit recalls laws passed in 2003 that facilitated outsourcing, restrained unions, and merged community clinics, hospitals, and long-term care facilities into large health and social service centers. He goes on to explain the international aspect of these changes.
Ces lois-là, tant qu'on les regarde toutes seules, on peut encore en discuter. Puis on peut encore éterniser les débats, puis blablabli, blablabla. Sauf qu'il faut savoir que ces lois-là sont en lien avec d'autres lois qui ne sont pas des lois québécoises. Ce sont des lois internationales, des accords de libre-échange. Dans les 15 dernières années, nos gouvernements au Québec et au Canada ont signé des accords de libre-échange avec d'autres gouvernements, d'autres chefs d'État de d'autres provinces, mais aussi de d'autres pays, entre autres avec l'État de New York, par exemple. Ils ont signé des accords de libre-échange qu'on appelle sur des marchés publics. On les appelle sur des marchés publics parce que l'objectif, c'est de faire en sorte que le secteur des services publics devienne un marché accessible. Okay? Par conséquent, ces accords-là disent la chose suivante. Tout organisme gouvernemental, de quelque ordre que ce soit, là, à partir du moment où il va avoir sous-traité une seule fois un service, un matériel ou un travaux de construction, sera dans l'obligation de continuer à sous-traiter par la suite pour ces mêmes affaires-là. On parle de moins en moins de droits de la santé et de besoins en santé. Vous savez, les droits, c'est comblé par les États, par les pays, par les gouvernements, parce que ce sont des droits. Mais les besoins, c'est le marché qui comble ça. Alors donc, il faut, si on veut marchandiser la santé, il ne faut plus parler de droit à la santé. Il faut parler de besoins de la santé. Les besoins de santé, c'est le marché. Les droits, c'est l'État. Dans les 15-20 dernières années, là, on a changé beaucoup, beaucoup de langage utilisé dans le réseau de la santé et des services sociaux. On ne parle plus de patients. On ne parle plus de citoyens qui sont malades. On ne parle même plus de malades. On parle de clients et de clientèle. Je suis désolé, là, mais moi, là, quand je suis client dans un magasin, c'est pas marié à acheter quelque chose parce qu'après ça, on va repartir avec. Mais quand je suis à l'hôpital, je ne suis pas un client, je suis un patient. Puis je vous dirais que les listes d'attente, il faut être patient sacrément en plus. Ça fait que arrêtez de changer le langage. Mais on ne change pas de langage pour rien. C'est parce qu'avec ce langage-là vient le reste. Si vous êtes client, vous risquez probablement plus de payer que si vous êtes un citoyen patient qui a des droits que si vous êtes un malade. Et c'est plus facile de couper un client que de couper un malade. C'est plus facile de mettre dehors un client que de mettre dehors un malade. C'est plus facile de moins bien traiter un client que de moins bien traiter un malade.
Benoit criticizes how patients have been replaced with clients as language has changed to better suit the new healthcare model. Dr. Luc Bessette, a doctor working in the private sector, tells us why he made the leap from public to private.
My name is Luc Bessette. I'm an emergency physician. I used to work at the CHUM, which is Centre Hospitalier Universitaire de Montréal, up to 2004. And at that time, I decided to quit the public system to actually start a private clinic, which is out of Medicare. And the principal reason was that I was under shock with the fact that there was no accountability and really attention and care given to the people sometimes in the public system. That was one point. The second point, I thought physicians were used or even sometimes abused in the system, and their input was not well taken into account. First of all, in 2003, when there was that episode of the shortage of physicians in emergency rooms, and there has been that problem was known to the government for a long time, and in spite of that, the government decided not to cover certain places, and actually there was a crisis in Shawinigan where two times in a row after in a few years, somebody actually presented to the emergency room and was denied service because there was no physician on call at that time, and the guy died. That was known, that was actually by both the Quebec government and the Medical Union of General Practitioners, and the crisis was even foreseen, and in spite of that, no real measure was taken and that guy died. And the answer of the government at that time was, okay, so since we don't have enough emergency physician, we'll ask emergency physician to quit their normal place of where they actually do their work and to go with a prior notice of less than 24 hours sometimes, or 24 hours, to any place in Quebec where there is a shortage of emergency physicians. And people receive subpoena to actually staff emergency rooms. And so it seemed to me completely ridiculous that physicians were the only workers in some ways in Quebec that could receive a subpoena by the government to go 500 miles or sometimes 600 miles far from where they live to staff a service, a public service, for a few hours just because there was not a good planning of the service. The system is a monopoly because of the fact that the expense planned by the government are fixed, and the attribution of the monies per hospital are limited to a certain number per year. You are in a kind of ridiculous situation where the physician wants to be more productive, and the hospital administration says, if you're more productive, we're going to be in deficit, so we should, in some ways, limit the offer of services. If you want people to, in their mind, to have the perception that health is an important issue, they should contribute to it. Mm-hmm. Even if the contribution is minimal, even if the contribution is just the fact that some expense has to be paid in advance and might be reimbursed afterward by the government, at least that it's not an open bar. Because the concept of the open bar right now in with Medicare is driving irresponsibility in the mind of people and unaccountability in the mind of officials. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you give it to the people. I mean, you give it, so you don't necessarily need to give the best. I mean, it should just be have gratitude for what is given to them. It should not be this way.
Dr. Bissett's MD Plus clinic is a world away from your local CLSC. Checkups last about 20 minutes and cost $100. Dr. Paul Saba, an emergency MD working in the public system, is strongly against the privatization of healthcare.
My name is Dr. Paul Saba. I'm a family physician. I've been working most recently at the Lachine Hospital, but also co-president of the Coalition of Physicians for Social Justice, which is a physicians coalition fighting to maintain and improve Quebec Medicare. It's very clear that the government has taken a positive stance on privatization of health care. They've introduced legislation despite opposition. private insurance doesn't benefit patients, especially those who are sick, those who are older, those who have limited income. If you look at the cost of private insurance in the United States presently, someone who is in their 30s to 40s, in New Hampshire, if you wanted to buy on the market Blue Cross and you have a family, it'll cost you in the vicinity of $20,000 a year in premiums. That's out of the reach even for most middle-class families. The way to improve health care and reduce waiting times is to ensure that doctors can work and provide the care that they're trained to do. We have, for example, in terms of surgeries, long waiting times. Why is that? Well, there's not enough time for surgeons. Orthopedic surgeons, we'll use that as an example, have very limited time. Some of them are only spending a half a day or one day doing orthopedic surgery. Now, when they open up private clinics, what they're doing is they're not increasing the number of physicians available or nurses. What they're doing is they're just shifting them from the public system to the private system.
Dr. Saba is frustrated about cuts to the public system.
Right now we're living the example at Lachine Hospital. The government's working very aggressively to downsize the hospitals to turn it into a clinic. And at the same time, one of the first private clinics in Quebec is opening in the Minister of Health's own riding. This is a very clear example of eliminating public health system and encouraging and increasing the private. Mm-hmm. The Lachine Hospital has been a full community hospital for many years. But despite that, the government's working with the health board to turn the hospital into a clinic. At the same time, Dr. Sager from Boston has done studies in looking at 1,200 hospitals in the United States, in 52 states, and it clearly demonstrates that when you eliminate community hospitals, urban community hospitals, 30% of patients stop getting any type of hospital care. And the remainder end up going to university centers, which is much more costly. So you end up eliminating care for almost a third of your population. And then the remainder who do able to get to the hospital end up increasing health care costs because they go to more costly university centers. So there's no savings for the government, and you're depriving a third of your population, usually the elderly, the sick, and the less well-off financially, from any access to health care. Mm-hmm. So the government's moving in a bad direction, which goes against evidence-based medicine and goes against compassionate medical care. 10 years ago in Montreal, what happened was that it basically en masse got rid of emergency rooms, operating rooms, hospital beds. And they also, at the same time, there was buyouts of for doctors to encourage them not to practice. They did this in the name of cost savings. But if you look at what happened is, you know, there was a short cost savings, and then everything had to got caught back up. So there really was no savings of money. All we did was create the long waiting times. There was a recent study showing that somewhere in the order of $14 million bonuses were given last year to administrators for reaching certain targets. And some of the targets include staying within budget. That means not hiring nurses, not hiring staff to keep operating rooms open. Their incentives paid by to administrators. That's the whole. These are the people who often decide. They may be even healthcare professionals, but they're working for management to keep within certain restrictions, budget restrictions. They're paid millions of dollars in bonuses, not individually, but as a group. I think the average is somewhere around $1,600 per person, not to provide health care to the population. And if you look at Quebec, this is a serious problem we have. We have twice as many administrators as any other province in Canada. In July, the administration, along with the government, decided to close our hospital to ambulances, which goes against all common norms in emergency room care, because usually an emergency room is kept open to ambulances for someone who has an emergency close by. This, despite an opinion given by the Quebec emergentologist saying that we were capable of opening to ambulances. So people have to get there. If you can make it through the door, mm-hmm. if you can get your foot through the door, you'll be treated. But if you drop dead in front of the emergency room doors and nobody can drag you through the doors, you won't be treated. The government's already clearly showing that they're not committed to making public health care system work. What's going to happen is more and more doctors will be pulled into the private.
Dr. Saba is a member of Physicians for Social Justice. He is a strong advocate of the public system, and he paints a grim picture of the state it's in. When we come back, we will hear from some patients who will tell their side of the story. I'm Carolyn Morris, and you're listening to music by a local Montreal group, Marnie and Melissa.
Just to tell me something new about us. I know you got your demons, babe, but I don't care. I know we're not forever. See you racing. Just the time.